Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15 and 16 through 17. The Reverend Dr. John Sias is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The modern assumption, really since medieval times, is that we all know well enough what a god or what the god should be. That he is simply the best of whatever is good. Absolutely powerful, absolutely merciful, absolutely just, and so on. But by this way of thinking, God is simply the best version of ourselves, made over in our image. If God is love, we hypothesize he must love like I do, just better. One might imagine, therefore, a god who eats a great deal of pizza. Such a god enthroned on our enlarged egos is no god at all. If God is to be God, he must be beyond our conceiving. And if such a god is to be known by us, it must be by his self-revealing, not by our parceling and tweezing out. Nicodemus does somewhat better than this tradition. He has at least tweezed at the scriptural evidence, I suppose, but he's still not doing great. He inquires of this Jesus as teacher of the material. He's looking for more facts to work into his impressions to make, I suppose, a better composite image for his mind of who God might be. But Jesus confronts him with the fact that unless one is born from above, Nicodemus misunderstands this, I think rather humorously as again, and figures that it must be on him somehow. Can one really restart one's own life, as he suggests, crawl back whence he came? Jesus says, no, it is from above, that is, of water and the Spirit, that unless one is born so, one can't even see the kingdom of God. It is, one can't really perceive how God is reigning, much less come into his kingdom, be one of his own. There's a lot in the scriptures, if you tweeze them apart, If you pull out a bit here or there to fit your narrative, your model, your abstract art of God. But such an approach leaves you in the driver's seat, or maybe with the mosaicist's tweezers, placing the shards where you want. And in the end, who should be surprised that even doing so, starting from the scriptures, but tweezing out and arranging ourselves, if the picture looks much like you, or at least much like the you that you'd rather be. But salvation is by faith, seeing the Son of Man for who he is, not who we are, and believing in him. Salvation, that is, from sin, from death, from our own bad mosaics, from the false worship of false gods who can't save and look too much like us, even from the life that we can't on our own restart. And the switch from one to the other, from false gods to true, is more than you'll manage by smartly rearranging the pieces. The old picture, old approach has to be shattered and a new bestowed, even if you work with shards harvested from the scriptures. If you're fitting them together, you're doing it wrong. The witness of the Father and the Son, Jesus says, only the Holy Spirit can empower us to receive. In this Monday of Holy Trinity, this is worth contemplating, that the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is, of course, all on one page, fully engaged in saving us, each person fully aligned, the Father sending, the Son dying to rise the third day, the Holy Spirit calling, gathering, enlightening, sanctifying, so that it is completely the work of God, as Jesus will say, that anyone should believe in the one the Father sent. This is a God we would never expect if we were to gather pieces from the world and try to figure out who God is. It is one Nicodemus should have expected, gathering pieces from Moses and the prophets and wisdom, but his fitting together doesn't seem to have gotten him there. For the witness of the Father and of the Son, Jesus says, only the Holy Spirit can empower us to receive. But that witness, it turns out, is all focused on one event, one fact that explains it all. The way of God is, in the end, not complicated. For us to have to tease out models and feed neural networks and see what pops out, but the way of God is simple. As God is simple, single-minded of purpose, completely united in power and will, simple so that we can grasp him and it by faith. Though it be an event, something like the simple God himself, powerful and deep enough to captivate us our whole lives through, and indeed to captivate all of eternity henceforth. It is, though, so simple that when Nicodemus asks Jesus, how can these things be? Jesus can tell him in two sentences after a bit of softening up. Are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand this? What Bible have you been reading, Nicodemus? Have you yet no understanding of Moses and all the prophets? But here it is. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Who reveals God, that is, but God's Son, having taken on human flesh, for us to hear and see and feel and touch him. And then, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. How does God's Son reveal the single-minded purpose of God in which he is completely united, and all he does is captivated in his power and will, comprehended in it? Nowhere but in his cross. Here in the cross, my friends, God is as God does. We cannot say this generally of our experiments with him. How the Almighty God permits, allows, even makes happen X, Y, or Z in this world, the God that we piece together from such shards can hardly be believed, shouldn't be. Yes, it is true, miracles happen. Good is brought from impossible evil. But there are many X's, Y's, and Z's. And in the end, dust to dust our bodies remain, and thorn and thistles must be. And while it is in hope, all must yet be in subjection. But so be it. For here in the cross, God is as God does. God, the eternal Son, sent by the Father, anointed by the Spirit, dies loaded with the sins of the whole world, with your sins, so that looking on him and believing that by his death they are atoned for, you, we, the world, should be saved. Not only to feel better about ourselves in time, but to be changed. Not only to see the kingdom of God, but to enter into it. To be ruled no more by our passions or devils or our integrated models, but by him, in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. For here in the cross we see God for who he is, the Father sending, the Son dying, the Spirit proceeding for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And seeing him, God, here in the cross alone, we are led to become like him. Simple, single-minded, united, the Spirit willing, though the flesh is weak, in power and will, to not only see, but to enter into and do the kingdom of God. So when you are tempted, as you will be, to tweeze out God's attributes, to weigh one against the other, when your mental models strain at why a just God would or a merciful God wouldn't, or why an almighty God isn't, our Lord's words to Nicodemus bring at once the right correction and the right comfort. We do not have to wonder what some higher power is about in all this stuff. In the cross, God is as God does. For this is not only the message for neophytes, but for the teachers of Israel, who, try as they might, will never make the pieces fit their way. Who is God? He is the Father who sends, the Son who dies to redeem, the Spirit who proceeds that we may believe and live. And whatever he is doing down here, this is simply what he is always about. For God is love, and God loves the world in this way, that he has given his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.